And now we're going to hear from the great queens of the House of Yahweh.
Thank you, everyone. To just let you know, the program that you're watching today has been planned and coordinated by our young people, and they're very zealous to learn how to do these things in Yahweh's house and to become great teachers. This feast, with the social distancing, they are being creative and using technology to stay in contact with us and each other. And yes, they are rejoicing. One very special project that our young women have embarked on is their own young women's newsletter. It's called Why? We're Here for Yahweh. In it, they are teaching what they have learned about Yahweh's Sabbaths and feast days, as well as why we don't celebrate the world's holidays. They also have shared their stories of how they are overcoming, as well as how they study to encourage one another on in the great house of Yahweh. In their Samuel 2019 newsletter, they addressed all of their teachers, and I wanted to share this with you, what they said. Dear Overseer Yishrael Hawkins, counselors, parents, and teachers in the great house of Yahweh, we want to thank you for helping and guiding us on the path to life. We know we wouldn't be able to pass our tests without your support, love, guidance, teaching, correction, and patience. Now, I'd like to say, on behalf of our Overseer Yishrael Hawkins, your counselors, your parents, teachers, and the great house of Yahweh, we are the ones that would like to thank you, young women, for accepting our help and guidance, for making our job, as Hebrews 13:17 says, a joy. Do your part so they can do so with joy. Thank you for being involved in Yahweh's work. Thank you for your love and support. Thank you for persevering through your tests and trials and standing strong in Yahweh's house. We know you already have righteous crowns waiting for you in Yahweh's great kingdom. And our teacher Yishrael Hawkins said in the 16th book of Israel, chapter 40, verse 115, I'm so joyous about our young people and the great ambition they show in becoming teachers and how great of teachers they are right now. They amaze me sometimes. Our first group of speakers are some young women I have been watching grow here in the house of Yahweh for pretty much their whole lives. Please honk your horns for the great daughters of Yishrael Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. The title of my speech is Even Though We're Young, We Can Achieve Great Things in the House of Yahweh. There are many examples in the scriptures where Yahweh used young people to do a great work. Some of the people he used were the 12 disciples or King Ishiah. So why did he use these young people? They were teachable and became knowledgeable through study. The definition of study is the devotion of time and attention to acquiring knowledge on an academic subject, especially by means of books. Yahweh told us in Ya'il chapter 2, verse 28, that the young people in his house will be used for an even greater work. So we need to apply our minds to study. In Proverbs 2, verses 4 through 6, it reads, If you seek after her wisdom as you would for silver, and search for her as you would for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the reverence for Yahweh, the reverence of Yahweh, and find the knowledge of our Heavenly Father, for it is Yahweh who gives us wisdom, for from the mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now, as a young person, you might not think that studying is fun, but you can make it fun. Here's some ideas to get you started. Depending on your age, you could start with a scripture or Ten Commandment matching game. You could also study with your friend or family. Or you could even start a scripture study on a subject that you like. If you turn over to 2 Timothy 2:15, it reads, Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth in the law and the prophets. In the fourth book of Israel, verse 1:15, it says, Because as he is, so are we to become in this world. We can't wait Wait, we can't wait until we get up there at the holy city, Yaoshima. We're going to have to overcome sin and become just as he is. By becoming knowledgeable in the laws and prophecies, we will be able to overcome all sin. Next, we need to apply what we've been. Next, we need to apply what we've been taught. This is your opportunity to shine. Even as young people, we can be a positive example to others. After all, there was one law for all, and we all have to be obedient, overcome our shortcomings, and strive for perfection. Lastly, in order to be used by Yahweh in these last days and achieve great things, we must practice righteousness. We will be given many opportunities to become who Yahweh wants us to be. In the 15th book of Yisrael, chapter 26, verse 30, it reads, "But we're practicing, and that's what Yochanan said. Those who practice righteousness, they are the ones who are classified as righteous practicing. After all, practice makes perfect." So when we study, overcome, apply, and practice righteousness, we'll be able to soar and achieve great things in the house of Yahweh. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I will be talking to those specifically in my age group, but this applies to all of us as well. Now, one thing we can all agree on is that it's pretty difficult living in this 3.5 years right now. And the fact that Satan knows she doesn't have much longer, and she increases her subtleness and her craftiness, doesn't make it better. Now, though, certain things and great things have to take place in this last 3.5 years. For example, turn over to Revelations 11, verses 8-10. "And the body of believers, the house of Yahweh, the one seed of the two witnesses, goes into the streets of the great city. Verse 9, "And they take out of the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations and to the house of Yahweh, turning them to Yahweh for 3.5 years, because they will not allow this body of believers of the two witnesses to be placed into the tomb." And we know that we have brought out a lot of people so far, but we still have more to come. "Then those residing throughout the earth will observe Yahweh's feasts and their reverence for Yahweh because of them, for they have a mind of understanding to do that which is right. And Yahweh's tithes and offerings they will bestow themselves together who are of Yahweh, because these two prophets proclaim the every word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, to those residing throughout the earth." And the more we do our preaching and publishing, the more the persecution, because Satan and the gods don't want the house of Yahweh reaching all nations. So they put traps before us, and those are our tests to see if we want to keep our hands to the plow or whether we do not. And in order to pass these tests, we need to endure them. We need to have endurance. And Pastor says here in the first book of Israel, chapter 10, verse 12, "It is our job, and this is what Yahweh tells us to do, to endure until the end, become perfect. This is what we are striving to do. Many of the elders have called me and told me that they just start crying. I started experiencing this a few years ago, and it has not let up. Now I think it involves everyone. I know it is involving all of you. Possibly you have not experienced it enough to know what I'm talking about, or you think it is coming from something else, but it's not. You will experience it if you have not. It is going to involve every one of you, children at all. It is something that we have to face, fight, and live with, and endure with, until Yahweh changes it as a test to bring us to perfection." So even Pastor said we have to endure these tests to bring us to perfection, and that will involve every one of us. But that's a great thing, because our tests provide us experience. So when we see someone else going through the same thing, we can share advice of what helped us through our tests to them. As it says in Hebrews 10, verse 24, let us encourage one another, how we might urge one another on toward love and righteous works. And we know to count it all joy when we go through tests. That'll help us endure. And testing develops endurance. In Jacob 1, verses 2 through 4. Now turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 35 through 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is great recompense of reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians 1. It's on page 901. In verse 6 through 7. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 6 through 7. And if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that just as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also will you be partakers of the consolation. And Shaul also says down in verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us that thanks might be given by many persons on our behalf for the merciful pardon granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So while we're enduring, we can also help others endure their tests by praying for them. And we know that prayer is effective, very effective and powerful, as it says in Jacob 5, verse 16. Now, with all this stuff taking place in this time period, it can be difficult to endure all this. So what can help us endure? One, prayer. Again, it's effective because it's the way we talk to Yahweh, and we can ask Him for strength and guidance. And remember, pray at least 3 times a day. Number 2, studying. Not only do you show yourself approved to Yahweh this way, 2 Timothy 2:15 for reference, but there's also comforting messages in the Book of Yahweh, Book of Israel, etc. You get a better mind of understanding, and it helps reduce stress. And the third one is forgiveness. If someone has wronged you, the test here is to see if you'll forgive. And it also makes you feel better. And Psalm 32, verse 1 says, blessed is he whose sin is forgiven. Now, in closing, I'll leave off on an encouraging scripture. You don't have to turn here, but it's Psalm 11, verse 4 and verse 7. Yahweh is in his holy sanctuary. Yahweh's throne is in heaven. Yahweh's eyes do see all. His eyelids try the children of men. His eyes see all things. He tests the children of men. Verse 7. For Yahweh is righteous. He loves righteousness from his own. Yahweh's face beholds all those upright in heart. Yahweh bless your feast. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Okay, shalom everyone. Okay, so the title of my speech is, Which Life Do You Want to Live? In our world today, it seems as if everyone is living a peaceful, perfect life where everything goes exactly as planned and nothing goes wrong. However, the world are expert ecdentists. An ecdentist is one who fakes a smile. They put a fake smile on their face to hide all their pain and misery. They put themselves out there to make it seem like they're living a peaceful and joyful life. They make their lives look like they're filled with laughter, never-ending smiles, and joy. But that joy is only temporary. If you take anything on the internet or social media at face value, you would think that everyone is living a perfect, blissful life. The truth is very different. Social media can be a breeding ground for dishonesty. From PsychologyToday.com, it's titled, How Honest Are People on Social Media? When we engage in social media, it can be problematic because we internally presume that what is presented is true. That people are naturally as great looking as their photos appear on a daily basis. That people's home life is as perfect as their pictures depict. That others have very few gut-wrenching struggles. This is clearly not true. But although we are less aware of the realities of other people's lives, we are well aware of the ways our own lives are not ideal. The world has so many things to offer, but along with these things come curses and consequences. From childmind.org, it says, a survey was conducted by the Royal Society for Public Health, asked A survey conducted by the Royal Society for Public Health asked 14 to 24-year-olds in the UK how social media platforms impacted their health and well-being. The survey results found that Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram all led to increased feelings of depression, anxiety, poor body image, and loneliness. From the 18th book of Yisrael, chapter 10, verse 21, it says, Yahweh is testing you for the greatest kingdom in the universe. That begins in that kingdom, in those kingdoms of the universe, that you're going to be put in charge of to teach and guide. They're waiting for you to pass this test I just gave you. Yes, I just gave you the test. Put your time to use. Don't go back out into the world seeking their ways and wasting your time with movies, Six Flags, or with anything and everything. The world has it all to offer you. Satan has the whole world out there for you to go and enjoy. Yahweh says you can't find joy there. You can't. Your life is empty. You spend hours and hours vacationing for days or months, and you'll be deeper in debt and miserable. That's what you'll be. The world is a liar, but you know who isn't? Yahweh. In Titus 1 verse 2, it says Yahweh cannot lie. Yahweh's way is true, peaceful, eternal, and brings permanent joy. In Galatians 5 verse 22, it says the fruits of Yahweh are peace, joy, love, and so on. So I asked some people from different age ranges, what brings you joy? Some of them said serving others, lightening other people's loads, and bringing smiles to their face, knowing the people I care about are well and safe, helping others, doing the work of Yahweh, seeing people overlook their differences to get a job done, seeing the people close to me joyful, music, writing songs, spending time with friends and family, the feast and Sabbath days, the peace that you can only find here in Yahweh's house. That's right. All these things can only be found at the house of Yahweh. These things are not temporary. This is just the beginning of the result of living Yahweh's way. The question is, which life do you want to live? Do you want to be an ekkadentesis, one who fakes a smile, or are you authentic, being exactly as appeared or as claimed? Yahweh's way is authentic. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, Yahweh gives us a choice, life by righteousness or death by destruction. So let's be authentic. Know who you are and be brave enough to live that life. So, does this mean that if I start keeping the laws of Yahweh today, I will start to see the rewards and blessings tomorrow? This is where endurance and trust in Father Yahweh comes in. In Matthew 10, verse 22, it says, whoever endures until the end will be saved. We see that the things that the world has set before us now are shutting down. We see prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes, and we believed without seeing. So, I would like to close with a poem. And it says, after all this, the sun will shine. After all this, we'll have eternal life. There will be no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more fear. We will be so grateful we didn't give up or give in because we endured until the end and overcame sin. And with that, let's turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Today I want to cover how we should try our absolute best to keep the laws of Yahweh, don't deliberately sin, and how it is important to be a positive example to those around us. When we do this, we will be steps closer to overcoming all sin, enduring until the end, and becoming perfect just like Yahweh our Father, so we can all enter the kingdom of Yahweh. So we might wonder or ask ourselves, where do I start? How can I strive to be perfect? How can I be a positive example? Well, to start, I would like to read a quote from the fourth book of Israel, chapter 18, verse 84. And it says, you must reverence Yahweh. Those who want to enter the kingdom of Yahweh must reverence Yahweh. In fact, you have to learn to love him. The only way you can learn to love him is by carefully obeying all of his laws, statutes, and judgments. These things teach you about Yahweh. They show you Yahweh. So now let's look at Matthew 5, verse 48, and it says, therefore, become perfect, just as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. It is very important to strive to become perfect, and we can do this by observing all of Yahweh's laws. In order to start striving to become perfect like Yahweh, we have to get rid of all the sin in our lives. We can do this by studying the laws of Yahweh and reading our scriptures. Please turn to Revelation 1, verse 3. And it says, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand. This scripture tells us why studying is so important, and we will be blessed by doing so. Those who study and keep the laws of Yahweh will be blessed. The opposite of keeping Yahweh's laws is sin, and the result of sin is death. If you look out in the world today, you can see that there are so many disease epidemics and confusion out there simply because of sin. For your notes, you can write 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, and it says, "The sting of sin is death. The power over sin is the law. There is no excuse for sin. Sin leads to death. That is why it is so important to stop practicing sin. Instead of practicing sin, we should repent and convert, like what it says in Acts 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins can be blotted out, that times of refreshing can come from the presence of Yahweh. We cannot allow ourselves to become deceived by looking up to the wrong people, such as, you know, celebrities. They try to make their lives look glamorous or make it out like they're joyful, but deep down inside, we know that they are suffering because of sin. And we know that sooner or later, they're going to be coming here. That is why it's so important. That is why it is so important for us as young people to be practicing righteousness so we can teach them." Please turn to, or for your notes, you can write 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts righteous character. We cannot allow our righteous character to become destroyed by following after the world. We cannot follow the crowd in doing evil, like what it says in Exodus 23, verse 2. Do not follow the crowd in doing evil. Now let's turn over to Proverbs 4, verse 23. And it says, "Guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life." So, as you can see, you have to guard your mind by not filling your mind with worldly things, because when you do, it will start to show through your actions and through your words. So you have to be careful when interacting with the world. By watching what we put in our minds helps us to be a positive example to others. We have to start with bettering ourselves first by trying our best to sin ever again, because we lead by example. We as young people should want to be a positive example to others, and we should strive to do our very best because we are the next generation, and younger people will look up to us. Please turn to Galatians 6, verse 6, and it says, "Let him who is trained in the law of Yahweh share all righteous things with him who is learning, thereby contributing to his spiritual support. It is important to speak about the laws of Yahweh amongst each other. Doing this is just one way we can become a righteous example to others. We all face testing trials, but we won't be tested beyond what we can bear. You must remember what it says in Jacob 1, verse 2 through 4. So if you would turn there. And it says, "My brothers," or sisters, "count it all joy when you fall into various temptation, trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, that you can become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Yahweh sees our efforts, and he knows that we are trying. Yahweh knows our hearts, and we have to make sure that we let Yahweh know that we value his way. Because it says in Luke 12, verse 34, 'For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.' I know that there's a lot of worldly influences out there. I know that Satan is trying to bring us down and make us fall. But don't allow her to tempt you. We have to be strong and endure until the end, because we don't have much time left. We're in a 3.5-year time period. We should be encouraging one another. We can do it. So let's all strive to be perfect, get all sin out of our lives, and become a positive example so we can all enter the kingdom of Yahweh." With that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Let the peace of Yahweh rule in your hearts. Please put on your seatbelts and buckle up, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Please turn with me to Romans 6:16. "Do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" Before this feast, I had the blessing of traveling back in time with some incredible holy women of New. We went back as far as 1998, studying previous Yeshua Memorial sermons. In the 2007 Yeshua's Memorial, Pastor thoroughly explained the scripture. paraphrasing what he said that when Yahweh created mankind, we were his. But when we sinned, we sold ourselves to Satan. In Yahweh's laws, he has the law of redemption, which can be found in Leviticus 25, 47 through 49. And in this law, if someone is too poor to buy themselves back, a relative or family member can buy them back. And Yeshua, being our older brother and firstborn, was able to redeem us and buy us back to Yahweh by living a sinless life and then being sacrificed for our sins. And the 30 shekels of silver given to the Pharisees were for his blood, so he was also bought back according to the law as well. When we are baptized into the family of Yahweh, we are once again Yahweh's. And when we get baptized, we choose to make a vow that we will never willfully sin again. Because if we sin willfully after receiving knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. Have we kept that vow? Do we diligently strive every day to keep that vow? Do we say we love Yahweh with all our heart, soul, and might, yet turn around and work for the devil through our actions? Are we betraying not only our heavenly Father and Creator Yahweh, but also Yahshua, our Messiah, who gave his life for our sins on the sea of glass? Every time we sin, we are ultimately saying we don't want to be a part of Yahweh's family. We are saying, Yahshua, it doesn't matter that you gave your life for our sins to buy us back to Yahweh. I'd rather belong to Satan and agree with the destruction she's influencing mankind to bring upon themselves. Sin is a choice, but it's become a habit to us. It's been bred in our genes, and we see examples of it every day. It has become a habit to us to the point we do it unconsciously. When someone hurts us, most times we don't know how to properly voice our feelings, so we either take it out by saying every word in the book to them or about them, or we give them the cold shoulder and ignore them. When someone says or does something we don't agree with, we often form opinions on them and share them with people close to us. And a lot of times, as teens, when others don't approve of us, we begin not to approve of ourselves, and whether what they said was true or not. So, more often than not, we downgrade ourselves and make self-depreciating comments, especially in a joking way. These are just a few sins we form as habits. But a habit can be changed, and a pattern can be broken. We are the generation to say, we've had enough. The cycle of sin stops here. We are the generation to stop the habit of sin and put pure righteousness back in our genes. Yeshua told us to become perfect because Yeshua told us to become perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. He said that because he knows we can become perfect. He knows we can stop this habit of sin. But we have to make conscious choices every day to become perfect and break the habit of sin. We cannot partake of Yahweh's table and the table of demons. Either make the tree righteous and its fruit righteous, or make the tree evil and its fruit iniquity. For a tree is known by its fruits. And in the same sermon, the 2007 Yeshua's Moral Sermon, Pastor said, you belong to someone, either Yahweh or Satan, and you only have a short time left to prove you belong to Yahweh. How can we prove we belong to Yahweh and break the habit of sin? Well, it all starts in our head. We have to create a desire to allow ourselves to be made in Yahweh's image. We have to ask ourselves, are we really going to throw away the one and only opportunity to be a staff member for the highest being in the universe? Are we really going to turn our backs on Yahweh and Yahshua and work to bring death? Ultimately, the choice is ours. When the thought of sin comes, we have to make a choice to either rebuke or endorse the devil. We should be following Yeshua's example by saying, get behind me, Satan. Yahweh, your Father, you must reverence, and him only you must serve. We need to replace thoughts and intentions of iniquity with righteousness. Guard your mind with all diligence, because Yahweh is trying the hearts and minds to establish the righteous ones. When someone hurts us, we should stop. Take a step back and ask ourselves why. Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's unintentional. Find out why they did what they did. Be the humble person. Take the lower seat and ask for forgiveness if you've wronged them. make a choice to forgive. And this can be really hard to do, even if most times when people don't say sorry. Yeshua instructed us to forgive our brother or sister whenever they sin against us, whether it be 7 times or 70 times 7. And for anyone wondering, that's 140 times. Forgiveness doesn't occur overnight. But once you choose to forgive, it gets easier. If someone has said or done something we do not agree with, this does not give us a free pass to disrespect them. This does not make it okay to treat them any less than we would treat anyone else. We should follow the wise instruction of Proverbs. He or she who shows they despise their neighbor has no wisdom, so a man or woman of understanding keeps their opinions to themselves. Remember, do not curse the king, even in your thoughts, for a bird of the air might carry your voice, and that which has wings will tell what you say. Do not grumble against each other. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do well to those who despitefully use you. If anyone has a complaint against one another, just as the Messiah forgave you, so you must also forgive. This is not an easy thing to do, but it is possible. A habit can be changed and a pattern can be broken. Whenever you're about to say something about someone else, ask yourself, would you want the same thing said about you? Because with the judgment we use, we will be judged. And with the standard we use, it will be that standard used against us. And I'd like to put out a challenge to everyone, especially those who hold authoritative positions in Yahweh's house. We understand you have many responsibilities and a really busy schedule. We are so thankful for the work that you do in this great house. Here's the challenge. Whenever you see someone, no matter who it is, no matter if you normally talk to them or not, give them a genuine shalom and a smile. 6 feet away, of course. It shouldn't take more than 10 seconds, and you never know. That might be the only smile and shalom they get all day. Not one person here does not deserve respect, and every person should be given respect no matter how we feel about them. We are the family of Yahweh, so let's treat one another accordingly. Lastly, the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So we must love ourselves. All of us at one point in life have trash-talked ourselves. We've told ourselves lies, things we would never tell someone we truly love. Why? Why would we destroy the work Yahweh has created? Why would we choose not only to degrade ourselves, but Yahweh too? When we talk bad to ourselves or about ourselves, we are ultimately saying, Yahweh, you did a horrible job creating me. Look at how ugly you made me. Look at all the flaws you put in me. As the creator of the universe, you couldn't have done better? And in Psalm 139, it says, we praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, as we know very well. See, Yahweh has made us according to his perfect pattern, and he is making us into his image and likeness right now, if we allow him to. When we start to hate on ourselves, whether it's because of how we think we look, or for bad choices and mistakes we made, remember, Yahweh sees us as who we will be, and we are his beautiful, righteous saints because we strive to keep his laws and choose righteousness. We choose to produce righteous fruits, partake of the cup of Yahweh, resisting the temptations of the devil. Sin is a habit we can and will break. Sin is a pattern we can and will change. We are the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, and peculiar people. We are the ones who will prove we belong to Yahweh through our righteousness. Pastor, thank you for teaching us how to sin never again and guiding us into Yahweh's kingdom under the direction of our high priest, Yeshua. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today. And I'd like to leave you all with a clip from Pastor.
I urge you, don't yield to sin. No matter how small it is, don't yield to sin. Don't let me down, brothers and sisters. You're my witnesses of my apostleship in the kingdom. Don't let Yahweh down. He is your loving Heavenly Father who is guiding you this day and will guide you into his kingdom. And I know if you don't, we will all be there together in Yahweh's kingdom. Yahweh bless you.
Shalom, everyone. Today, I will be talking about how we can endure until the end. One of the greatest ways to do this is to remember that your joy in Yahweh is your strength. In Nehemiah 8, verse 10, It says, go, enjoy your rich food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to Yahweh. Do not grieve nor sorrow, for your joy in Yahweh is your strength. And in side note G3, it says, rejoice in Yahweh, and he will give you strength. Overseer Yisrael Hawkins told us, find our joy in the house of Yahweh. This is the only place true joy can be found. Unlike what we see in the world today, as the consequences of sin are being experienced throughout the entire world. Although we in the house of Yahweh are not suffering the direct curses of sin because we practice keeping Yahweh's laws, we are still being tested and tried to make us in the image of Yahweh, and this is why we must learn to endure. As we've been taught many times before, enduring doesn't mean just physically being here, but we must also put Yahweh's laws into practice each and every time we're faced with a difficult situation. And of course, doing so with a positive attitude is part of keeping Yahweh's laws and developing his character. So let's talk about some ways we can remain joyful as we go through the worst time of trouble ever. That's spoken of in Daniel 12:1 and Matthew 24:1. One of the best ways to be joyful is to be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. Yahweh brought us out of this world of sin and called us to his house, the only protected place on earth, and is teaching us how to have eternal life and to avoid things that would cause us hurt or harm. When we realize that everything comes from Yahweh, we can see how much he really does for us. There are people in this world that don't have homes, food, or clean water, the basic necessities that we sometimes take for granted. We have to be thankful to Yahweh for all the comforts and security he has provided for us. Another key to joy is acceptance. Practicing acceptance gives us peace. When you accept the situations Yahweh puts you in, you will be content. Not accepting our situation shows a lack of trust in Yahweh. Remember, Yahweh is always in full control. Always look on the bright side and make the best out of every situation. Like the Peaceful Solution says, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade. Another thing that will help us to be joyful is to eliminate drama from our lives. Having drama creates a lot of unnecessary stress for us. We create drama when we make mountains out of molehills, taking little things and blowing them out of proportion into big issues. Most of the time, these situations can be easily resolved by applying Yahweh's laws and getting advice and counsel from our trusted authorities. We need to keep our emotions in check by controlling our thoughts. In the self-control unit of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, on page 45, it talks about keeping things in perspective. And it says, negative thoughts and strong emotions can cloud our ability to see things in perspective and increase our opportunity to act irrationally. Then it goes on to give us tips for keeping things in perspective, such as, don't make a situation into something it's not, stop and ask yourself if you're responding appropriately, and learn to look at the big picture. This is really a great section full of valuable and practical information to help us remember to keep our minds focused and control our emotions, and that will help us not get caught up in any drama. And last but not least, doing the work of Yahweh and being with the people of Yahweh. Righteous friendships bring great joy into our lives, but most importantly, you have to have Yahweh's laws and plan in your heart, because lasting joy comes from our connection with Yahweh. In Psalms 34, verse 4 through 5, it says, we sought you, Yahweh. You heard our cry. You delivered us from our fears. We look to you and we are cheerful. We will never be covered with shame. In the 11th book of Israel, page 149, Overseer Yisrael Hawkins said, so when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads. That is, this look up, it means, the meaning of it is to cheer up, be joyful. Show joy to Yahweh through the high priest, of course, Yeshua. Look up and rejoice and show the joy. So I encourage you to find your joy in the house of Yahweh. Cheer up, look up, because our redemption draws very near. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Right, shalom, everyone. I know everything is different right now with everything that's occurring, but
remember that Yahweh is in complete control of everything, and Yahshua, our high priest, is with us, and Yahweh won't give us more than we can bear, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And we are standing strong here today, and that leads me to my title, which is Standing Strong with Scripture. Now, we just celebrated Yahshua's memorial, and we know his life, and we know he grew up with the Scriptures. You know, he even stayed behind on the Passover when he was 12 years old, and so he could further his learning. That was something he really valued and enjoyed. But he was tempted, just like how we could be at times. And the most common example of this is in Matthew chapter 4. It's in another place, too, but you have to look for it. It's in Luke chapter 4. Sorry, I know that was a very okey joke, but I have Yemetri to back me up. It's 8:28 in Yemetri. So anyway, if we could turn over to Luke chapter 4, it's on page 785, and we'll start in verse 2. For 40 days, being tempted by the devil, during those days he ate nothing, and when they were ended, afterward he hungered. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of Yahweh, command this stone that it be made into bread." But Yahshua answered her, saying, "It is written, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh." Now, we know he was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. You can write it down for your notes, but I'll turn to it and read it. And it says, "So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know of, nor did your fathers know of it. So he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live." Now, if you go back and read the whole entire chapter, you can see each time where Yahshua, you know, denied Satan and had scripture to back him up. And in reading this, too, we can see the craftiness of Satan and how she tried to use the scriptures to twist and use them against Yahshua to make him doubt. But we cannot do this. He was very knowledgeable and he was trained, and he knew the exact scriptures that he would need to have in order to deny her. Yahweh even inspired the prophet Jeremiah to write of the preachers who do these things. If you could turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. And if we can look at verse 30, it says, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, says Yahweh, who steal my words one from another." If you could look down to verse 31, "Behold, I am against the prophet, says Yahweh, who make up their own speeches and then say, this is what Yahweh says." This is why it's important that we stick close with Yisrael Hawkins, because he's the one who is making sure that we understand the scriptures and bringing out the things that no one else knows the answers to. You know, we're young, but anybody could fall for the traps of Satan. In these last days, we have the book 1 and book 2. So we know the book of Yahweh is meant for us in these last days, in this generation. And we are prophesied to be the ones who are teaching. We are young, but we can be a positive and righteous example. If you could turn over to 1 Timothy, or Timaiah, it's on page 935. You can look at verse 4. It says, chapter 4, verse 12. "Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, give attention to reading or studying, to exhortation, to the teachings. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy, with laying on of the hands of the body of elders." And we know we're prophesied in Yael 2:28 to be prophesying. So even in these times, especially in this time period, the time period we're in now, we can look to the scriptures for encouragement and hope. If we can turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 15, it's on page 884, and look at verse 4. It says, "For whatever things were written in former times were written for our learning, that we, through endurance and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." And in these last days, we know that the scriptures give us hope. Especially, like, we can look at scriptures like Psalm 91 and Colossians 2:16 that tells us how we can have our shadow of protection here at the feast and how we can rejoice, you know, get food and eat and drink, not going to let the world condemn us for doing these things. So back to my title, which is Standing Strong with Scripture. If you put that in your matrix, you get the numbers, you get these numbers, but I'm going to focus on 2220 for right now. And in the Hebrew, it means arm, forearm, shoulder, power, strength, force, arm, mighty strength. And this shows that we can just use the scriptures to give us the strength that we need, and we can find our strength in the scriptures. And these would make us, this would make, will make us strong. So we need to be prepared to be holy and wise so we can be able to teach the 2 billion. And I would like to remind you in conclusion to hold on like a bulldog. Remember, we're close and we're going to make it. Yahweh's with us each step of the way, and we have to stand strong with him. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Today, I'm going to be speaking on how we can endure until the end. I hope everyone is enjoying this very unique feast. I'd like to start off by taking you on a little trip. I want you to imagine any environment that you'd like, whether it's on the side of a mountain, on a beach, deep in a forest, or on a hill full of grass. Really imagine being there. Now, add knowing that you're perfectly safe. You're not going to breathe in some virus. You're not going to have something hiding in the ground that's going to come up and get you. You're perfectly safe. You also have perfect health. No pain. You're not getting old and slowing down. No more headaches. You feel great. At the same time, you can zoom way out and see every planet in the entire universe. And what you see is Yahweh's law is being taught. There's no suffering, no killings, no fighting, just joy and the laws of Yahweh. At the same time, you can also zoom way in and you can see all the micro kingdoms that make up your body, that make up the environment that you're enjoying. And you can see that they're healthy, they're busy, and they're joyful. This is just one example of something that I look forward to in the kingdom of Yahweh. And Yahweh tells us that the reward he has stored up for us, it is so great that the human mind can't comprehend it entirely. We can only understand little bits of it. So who else wants to get there as soon as possible with me? I think everyone wants to. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that Yahweh has plans for us, not of destruction, but of peace. And so we're going to put that dream aside for right now, and we're going to come back to the present. We're all facing tests right now. We're all facing a lot of stress and all kinds of new challenges. But we have to go through those to get to that beautiful kingdom that we just imagined. You cannot skip the tests, you can't cut around them, and you can't go through them miserably, or you won't get to the kingdom. You have to get to the kingdom by going through the tests and the challenges with joy. So, how do we do that? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 tells us that Yahweh will not put on us more than we can handle. He's faithful. And he always provides a way of escape. So, how can we do this? How can we escape these challenges, and how can we rejoice through them? I have 6 ways. The first one is to accept them, to be thankful for them, to find joy, to study, to pray, and with our counselor's help. The first one is to accept the fact that you can't skip the challenges. Even if you go out into the world, you're still going to face the challenges. You just won't have the reward at the end. We need to accept that we have to go through them and that we have to do it with joy. The second is to be thankful for them. Jacob chapter 1, 2 through 4, and Romans 5, 3 through 5 tells us that these challenges, these tests, develop in us endurance, patience, maturity of character, hope, and they make us complete. Now, I don't think anyone wants to not be complete. So that's something that we should all be thankful for when we get these tests, is that they're helping us to be complete. The third is to find joy in them. Joy because it's the hard times that grow us. And joy because each test gets you that much closer to that beautiful kingdom that we were just imagining. It won't be easy to be joyful in this time, but remind yourself of these first three and be diligent in these last three. Number four is to study. Isaiah 34:16 tells us to search out the book of Yahweh and read. And Pastor has told us that that also includes the booklets that the House of Yahweh puts out and the books of Yisrael that the House of Yahweh puts out as well. And Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 23. And I'm going to turn there. My son, pay attention to my laws and incline your ear to my sayings. Do not neglect them, or do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they mean life to those who find them and health to your whole body. Guard your mind with all diligence. Guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. Now, what you put in is what's going to flow out. If you're putting in the stuff of the world, then what's going to come out is the curses that the world is suffering. But if you put in the laws and the stuff in the book of Yahweh and the words in the books of Yisrael, that's when you are going to have life come out. You can also read Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. The fifth one is prayer. Jacob 5:16 tells us that the earnest prayer of the righteous saints is effective. Now, earnest means that you show that you are serious and that you care. If you are earnestly praying for Yahweh to help everyone else who is struggling, then know that everyone else is earnestly praying for Yahweh to help you with your struggles. And He will help us. The sixth one is our counselors. Now for me, the hardest thing is to call up my counselors and tell them I'm having trouble, I need help. But I can tell you, I've experienced it many times, and it really does help. If you push past it and you call them and you get their help, it helps you out. So go to your counselors. Proverbs 11:14 says, Proverbs 11:14, where there is no wise guidance, the people will fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And that's one of the beautiful things that we were looking forward to in the kingdom, is the safety that we'll experience. Proverbs 4 verse 13 says, take a firm hold on instruction. Do not let go. Guard it well, for it is your life. And Proverbs 9 verse 12. If you become wise, your wisdom will reward you. But if you scorn it, you alone will pay the penalty. And I had to look up that word scorn. It means to believe that something is worthless. So if you scorn these tools, acceptance, thankfulness, rejoicing, study, prayer, and our counselors, if we think of these things as worthless, then we will pay the penalty. If we think of our tests as worthless, we won't grow and we'll pay the penalty. Pastor, Yahweh, and our counselors won't be there with us, suffering our penalty, and they won't be able to get us out then. Now is the time to avoid it. Use these six tools I gave you to rejoice through this time and to go for the kingdom. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Okay, so I have to admit that I was a little bit nervous about how this feast would go because of all of the changes. Because we start looking forward to the next feast literally as soon as the last feast ends. And so, like, I was a little bit disappointed, but I have to admit that I've never been more thankful to be in the house of Yahweh than I have this feast. Only in the house of Yahweh is there joy and excitement and hope in the greatest time of trouble ever. It reminds me of the song that says, the only thing that changes with the storm is our trust in Yahweh gets stronger. And before the feast, I was going over some of the previous Yeshua's memorial sermons from back in the day. And one particular one, the 1998 one, Overshew was really harping on how important our trust and our belief in Yahweh is and the every word of Yahweh. And he said that Yahweh is showing us what he can do with his laws. And when we put our trust and our belief in that and in his plan, then we know that our future is secure. And he said that our trust and belief in Yahweh is the only thing that'll keep us from being able to be deceived. And in the Mark of the Beast, volume 2, page 342, it defines deception as when one allows themselves to be drawn into the belief that he or she can have a joyous life while breaking Yahweh's laws. And this reminded me of another sermon where Overseer was talking about how man rejected Yahweh's righteousness because they wanted their joy right then and there. They didn't want to strive for perfection in order to receive the true joy and gladness that comes through practicing righteousness. They wanted that instant gratification, but the problem with that is it only lasts for a short period of time, but it brings curses that last a lifetime. True joy and gladness is not instant. It is something that we have to work at to achieve. And in Acts 14, verse 22, it says, "They strengthened the minds of the disciples and exhorted them to remain firm in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of Yahweh." Now, a few weeks ago, somebody had asked me how they can be joyful whenever they're going through so much pain. And it brought to my mind many scriptures, and specifically Hebrews 11 through 12, where it gives the testimony of many of the righteous servants of Yahweh who through the years suffered great trials and tribulation and persecution, and who endured great torture and suffering, but they did these things willingly and joyfully because they looked forward to the joy that is set before them. And I want to read through some of them in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8. It says, "By the faith." Now, in that same sermon dated 4/10/98, Overseer defined the faith as the promises of salvation and the instructions on how to receive them. And it's the whole system of Yahweh's plan. And it was their trust and their belief and their focus on that plan that was able, that gave them the strength to be able to endure the things that they had to go through. So he says, "By the faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he would afterwards receive for a promise, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he was going." And then in verse 10, it says, "For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is Yahweh." And keep that word "look" in mind, because we're going to come back to that later. And then in verse 13, it says, "All these died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." They seen it in their mind's eye through the prophecies. "And they were convinced of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." In verse 15, it says, "And truly, if they had been thinking of the country which they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they long for a better kingdom, that is, a heavenly. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their father, for he has prepared a city for them." Skipping on down to verse 25, it says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of a saint greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he was looking to the recompense of the reward. Motivated by the faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for as though seeing the invisible one, he endured." And skipping over to chapter 12, reading verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight," that's anything that distracts us or gets our focus off of this race that we are running, "and the sin which so easily entraps us, and let us run the race that is set before us with endurance. Looking to Yeshua, the first who was led and perfected by the faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the sacrifice." If you notice there, it's knowing that his joy in Yahweh was his strength, "despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh." For consider him who endured such opposition against himself from sinners, so that you would not become weary and faint in your minds. Now that word look, it's looked and looking. It's Greek number 578 and 872 in the Strong's Concordance. And it means to look away from everything else, to intently regard. And it reminds me of the donkey cloud where the donkey is looking very intently at the tree. It says to look steadfastly and to concentrate the gaze upon. And Isaiah 26:2, it says that Yahweh will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast on him. And then in Psalm 16, verses 8 through 9, it's a prophecy of Yeshua, and it says, I have set Yahweh always before me, for I am at his right hand. Therefore, I shall not be moved nor shaken. Therefore, my heart has joy and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope in you, great Yahweh. When we keep our minds on the joy that is set before us, then we will know that these momentary afflictions are achieving for us a far more exceeding and great glory, eternal weight of glory. And it is worth anything and everything that we must go through in order to receive it. It's worth anything that we have to sacrifice in order to be a part of this administration that's going to put an end to all sin throughout the universe. So for now, we have sorrow, but soon we will see Yeshua again, and our hearts will rejoice with the joy that no one can take from us. And with that, I'll turn it over to the great priest of the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Doesn't look like a big crowd, but I know there's more than a million people watching. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is Seek First. Most of you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but I'll show you. In Matithiah chapter 6, Yeshua is telling us to seek first. Matthias chapter 6. Matthias 6, page 733. And look at verse 733. Look at verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things. Is it talking about a car or a truck or a new bicycle or a phone? Well, Pastor put out a blog. The title is, when you gave your child a cell phone, you just signed one of many death warrants. And on page three, right here. Yes, your child can open that cell phone and turn their minds to the garden that is ready to be planted with righteousness or evil. It's vivid. It opens a world filled with deceptive-looking life that produces death by sickness and disease. Sickness, disease, and distraction. And if you look down two paragraphs, it's like intense light from the sun or sun god. Yes, it's the gods that are teaching us to be evil, and also Satan deceived her own sons into thinking that they should not follow Yahweh. And if we follow Yahweh's laws, we will have blessings. And where does blessings come from? Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. It's on page 974. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. And who's the Lamb? Yes, that's right, Yeshua. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And we haven't caught up with them yet, but we probably never will. We'll get pretty close, though. And in conclusion, we should be seeking the kingdom of Yahweh and His righteousness, and not the riches of this world. Yah bless your understanding. I'd like to turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Those who are standing can be seated. The title of my speech today is Sanctifying Yahweh's Name. Okay? So the purpose of my speech is to give you some of the blessings or benefits from sanctifying Yahweh's name, and tell you some of the traits that someone who sanctifies Yahweh's name will have. So the greatest benefit of keeping this law, which it is positive law number 9, okay? So greatest benefit of keeping this law is that an individual can know Yahweh, okay? So some might ask what it means to know Yahweh. It doesn't mean just to know His name or know how it's pronounced, but it means that we understand who Yahweh is and what He expects for us as His children, and what separates us from the rest of the world. By sanctifying Yahweh's name, we set ourselves apart from the rest of the world as being His. If you'll turn over to 1 Kefa chapter 2 and verse 9. That's found on page 958. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you would show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Okay, so on side note D for the word nation, it says gathering those called out. Okay, so, and you know, we can only be called out if Yahweh is the only one who can call us. Yahweh is the only one who can call us out of darkness into light. If you could also turn over to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19 and verse 5 through 6. Verses 5 and 6. That's found on page 60. It says, "Now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice." Okay, so blessings only come through obedience. Okay, so obedience to Yahweh's laws and obedience to those who Yahweh has set up in authority. Verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." Okay, and a covenant, we've been learning recently that a covenant is a vow. Covenant is just another word for vow. "Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the laws that you shall speak to the children of Moshe." So, or children of Israel. So, you know, through those laws, through keeping those laws that Yahweh has set up for us, and not through keeping one or two of them, by keeping all 613 of them, we become Yahweh's special treasures. So Yahweh is a loving Heavenly Father who only seeks the best for His children, as any father would. And no one can deny the fact that everything we have, from the breath of air to the shoes we wear, are all provided by Yahweh. And He allows these blessings to be given to us, so we should never forget to thank Him for all that we have in life. Okay, so, you know, a phrase that I hear a lot is, remember Yahweh, because if He forgot you, you forget to pray for your food, you forget to salt your sacrifice, that's forgetting Yahweh. And if Yahweh forgot about you, you know, we'd all be dead. If Yahweh forgot about us for a second, we'd all be dead, because everything we have is provided by Yahweh. If we had to provide the breath of air for ourselves, there wouldn't be a lot of people around, okay? Because you'd have to tell yourself, all right, breathe. You know, so it's very great that, or it's very beneficial that we thank Yahweh for all that He gives us. In Matithiah chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Matithiah chapter 10, That's found on page 737. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet none of them fall to the ground without your Father's will." Okay, so Yahweh knows everything. That verse right there is telling us that Yahweh knows everything. "Even the very hairs upon your head are numbered. Therefore, do not be afraid, for you are worth more than many sparrows." So we are worth more to Yahweh than little sparrows. Because, you know, you see these sparrows flying around. They're just little birds. You know, they don't talk. They don't do any work or anything. Or they might do their own work, but they don't do the type of work that we do. So we are valued more to Yahweh than little sparrows. So someone who sanctifies Yahweh's name will have a positive attitude. And he will be able to maintain a positive outlook in any situation that he's presented with. If you would turn over to Jacob chapter 1. You know, this is the example that we should be following. This example Jacob sent for us. Jacob chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, trials." Okay, so sometimes we might get some tests that are just really hammering us hard. And, you know, keeping our positive outlook being optimistic or keeping a positive attitude really helps. Okay, so you could read verse 3 and 4. Because I'm getting the stop sign. You can read that on your own time. And in conclusion, in these times of trouble, trust in Yahweh and he will direct our paths. And with that, if you would all please stand. If you're able to, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated if you're standing. The PCI view each and every one of you. So today I'm going to be talking about trusting in Yahweh and coming into unity. So if we look around at everything going on today and in the world, we can see that everything that Yahweh inspired his prophets to write for this generation, everything that was prophesied in the book of Yahweh for this generation, is now coming to pass. This generation that started in 1934, we've seen the increase of knowledge. We've seen the House of Yahweh being established, and now we're seeing the first plague taking place. Now, if we look in the news, we can see all the wars and fightings, and sickness and disease that's going around, and we can see that. We can see that the world is going down and the House of Yahweh is being raised up. And we know that the governments are about to change hands. Now, if we turn over to Daniel 7. Daniel 7, verse 25. It says, "And he will speak great words against Yahweh, and wear out mentally attack to cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh, and think to change times, Yahweh's feast days and laws, and they will be given into his hand until a time, times, and divided the times." And then if you turn over to Genesis 49, verse 10, "The scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff, lawgiver from between his feet, until he comes to whom tribute belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his." Now, we must come into unity with Yahweh to show that we trust him. And how do we do that? If we turn let's turn over to Yochanan 6, and starting at verse 28. "Then they said to him, 'What must we do that we might work the works of Yahweh?'" Verse 29 says, "Yahshua answered and said to them, 'This is the work of Yahweh, that you believe into him whom he has sent.'" And who was the one sent in these last days? Yes, that's right, Yisro Hawkins. And we've been taught that to believe into the one sent is to obey the one sent. Now, one thing that pastor has told us is to become a servant. And that's one of the things we learn here at the Sabbaths and feast days, is how to become a servant to one another. And we recently had an opportunity to become a servant on Yahshua's memorial when we washed each other's feet. Now, in the seventh book of Israel, pastor says, after he had washed their feet, he put his tallit back on and sat down, and he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? Do you really understand what he's trying to get over to you? He's becoming a servant to you. He wants you to become servants to one another." So Yahshua showed an example of a servant the night that he washed his disciples' feet. And he was also a servant when he gave his life for us. Now, in the eighth book of Israel, pastor says, this was Yahweh's example. His example to us. He blessed the seventh day by becoming a servant to Yahweh's people. So we can see that Yahweh is also a servant himself. If Yahweh wasn't a servant, then none of us would be here right now. So in conclusion, let's remember to always obey the one sent so we can show our trust in Yahweh. And with that, if you can, please stand and I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'm going to share with everyone something that I've learned in the house of Yahweh and something that I hope will benefit you as well. A couple of weeks prior to the feast, when the coronavirus was starting to hit the United States hard, and pastor showed us in Revelations chapter 16 that these curses will only come upon those who have the mark of the beast. My dad was talking to me about the sermon and asked me if I was glad to be in the house of Yahweh, to which I quickly responded yes. Growing up in the house of Yahweh, I never really thought about how much of a blessing it was to be here until I started seeing all the curses that the world is suffering from, even before the first plague. For years, the house of Yahweh, reinforced by my parents and teachers, have taught me how to stay safe from the defilement of the world. I could never say the house of Yahweh never taught me or didn't care about me. Teaching someone Yahweh's laws is showing true care and concern. Please turn over to 1 Corinthians 7:35. 1 Corinthians 7:35, and that's on page 892. Now I say this for your own benefit. Did you hear that? Your own benefit. Not that I might put restrictions on you, but for what is proper, so that you might serve Yahweh without distraction. I'm going to read a quote from the second book of Israel, chapter 17, verse 65. And pastor's talking about distractions. I'm going to skip down here and read some of it. By putting in front of you everything she can to keep you from doing Yahweh's laws, and by creating a world full of distractions. Is it beginning to register what I'm saying here? The world, with the glitter and the glamour, and all the things to waste your time, is for one purpose, of preventing you from becoming part of this kingdom. Pastor Yeshua Hawkins has always been warning us of the distractions or cares of this life that can easily pull us away from serving Yahweh. I can tell you that I don't always like the restrictions or rules that are put on me, but I know they are put there for a reason, even though I don't always see it at that time. But like we just read in 1 Corinthians, they are put there for our benefit. Like the Peaceful Solution teaches, rules are there to keep us safe. This is one of the many things I've learned in the house of Yahweh. In the first book of Yisrael, chapter 24, verse 54, pastor said, Yahweh's planned kingdom is not to be an iron-fisted ruler, not to use destruction, except to actually get rid of what would be harmful, and we could not get it changed. Yahweh set rules to teach. I'm going to skip down a couple verses, or a couple Yeah, a couple of verses. It says, you can prove what a great teacher you are if you will start learning these ways and not vary from them. Do not let Christian ideas come into your mind and start adding to the laws of Yahweh in any way. So we see here that if we follow Yahweh's laws strictly, as they have been taught to us all of our lives, and not add nor take away from them, as it says in Revelations 22:18, we will be teachers in Yahweh's kingdom, teaching not only the 2 billion, but the entire universe. Please turn to Proverbs 3:1-8. Proverbs 3:1-8, it says, my son, do not forget my law, but take my instructions to heart. Now these are some of the blessings that come when we strictly follow Yahweh's laws. Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Tie them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your mind. Then you will find honor, high esteem, and approval in the eyes of Yahweh and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Yahweh, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Reverence Yahweh by turning entirely away from evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now I'm going to read a paragraph out of the Unveiling Satan, Her True Identity Revealed booklet. In chapter 5, verse 535. It says, the Hebrew word translated from Genesis 1:2 means to be led astray. Therefore, Yahweh is showing us in Proverbs that his 613 laws will keep us from being led astray. They will keep us from the way and the leaders whose ways cause misery, death, destruction, ignorance, sorrow, and wickedness. And those are curses that come when we do not keep Yahweh's laws. In closing, I'm going to read a section out of the Preparedness Handbook. It's chapter 3, verse 256. It says, Do not let us fail to take heed of the warning given to us by Yahweh's house for our protection and survival, and to continue the work we are commissioned to do. While the plagues are coming up upon those who have the mark of the beast, let us allow Yahweh's laws to guide our choices, proving to him that we are taking his instructions to heart and enduring. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, Son of Yishalabel, Deacon Buffalo Bill.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Today I'm going to be talking about trusting in Yahweh. VCR will be with each and every one of you. Okay, first let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. The fear of man only brings a trap, but he who puts his trust in Yahweh will be safe. Now, out in the world today, there's a lot of things to be afraid of, and especially this new virus that's going around, the big pandemic that the world sees. But like the last speaker spoke about, it targets those who have the mark of the beast. Now, if we're here and we're believing and we're trusting in Yahweh and practicing what Yahweh says, then we don't have the mark of the beast. Because the mark of the beast is the holidays and worship on Sunday. Now, the word trust means to rely on the ability or the integrity or the character of a person or a thing. Now, we're going to start with the word integrity, which is a rigid adherence to a code or of behavior. Now, does Yahweh have a rigid adherence to a code of behavior, like his laws? Does Yahweh keep his own laws? He does. Okay, and then secondly, his ability. Yahweh has great ability. Yahweh, he moved the Red Sea for Moshe. He moved the sea for Moshe. He saved Daniel from the lions, and there's many other examples. But if you'll turn over to Exodus 14, and this is where Moshe and the children of Israel wanted to go and leave Egypt, and Pharaoh gave them permission, and then he later got upset, so he made ready his chariot and took his army after them. He took 600 of his best chariots, along with the other chariots of Egypt. Now, if we go down, you see Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and if you go down, as Pharaoh approached, the children of Israel looked up, and behold, there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and the children of Israel cried out to Yahweh. And Moshe said, because there were no graves in Egypt, and they said to Moshe didn't say this, but because there were no graves in Egypt, why have you taken us to die in the wilderness? Have you done this? What have you done to us by taking out of Egypt? Did we not say to you, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moshe said to the people, do not fear, stand still, and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more. And then on down, Yahweh told Moshe, why do you cry out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And then on down, the waters were divided, and the Egyptians passed through, but the wheels of their chariots became jammed, so they drove with great difficulty. Then the waters closed back over on them. So this proves some of the ability of Yahweh. Now, we can definitely rely on his character. If you'll turn to Exodus. Exodus 34. And we see his 13 attributes, which are almighty, merciful and compassionate, long-suffering, abounding, possessing righteousness and truth, keeping mercy, forgiveness, judges sin, heavenly father, makes a covenant with his, doing marvels, awesome and zealous. Now, Yahweh's in full control. We have to adhere to Yahweh's law, we have to do what he says, and we'll be able to make it into the kingdom, and we have nothing to fear from the world. If you'll turn to Psalms 91. And Pastor brought out this scripture also. And it says, verse 1 says, he who abides in the secret place of the Most High he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress. You are our Father, and you we will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made Yahweh your refuge, because you have made the Most High your house. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. Now, if you'll turn to Colossians 2 and verse 16. Therefore, let no man condemn you for doing these things, eating and drinking in the observance of a feast day, or of a new moon, or of a Sabbath day, which are a shadow from things to come for the body of Messiah. We have nothing to fear from the world if we put our trust in Yahweh and if we do what he says. So in closing, I encourage you to keep striving to come to perfection. keep on keeping the laws and practicing what Yahweh says and put your trust in Yahweh, you have nothing to fear. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you, and Yahweh bless your understanding. The title of my sermon today is Those Who Develop Yahweh's Righteousness as Yeshua Messiah Will Have Spirit Holy. Let me repeat that. Those who develop Yahweh's righteousness as Yeshua Messiah will have Spirit Holy. So what is Spirit Holy? Spirit Holy is Yahweh's righteousness, Yahweh's character, the character of Yahweh. We learn about Yahweh's Spirit Holy on Yeshua's memorial, Yeshua's memorial, and that how Yeshua Messiah, he achieved it. He achieved Yahweh's Spirit Holy. But when we partake of Yeshua's memorial, by the eating of the bread and the drinking of the wine, which represents his body and his blood. But Yeshua knew that those who develop this righteous character as Yeshua Messiah, as himself, will not be made out of flesh and blood. So what are we made out of? We turn over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And he says here, but he answered and said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. So, it's the laws of Yahweh is Yahweh's Holy Spirit, right? And Yeshua Messiah, he achieved it. He achieved Yahweh's Holy Spirit by developing this righteous character. And that's something that we all should look forward to practice, because he's our great example of someone who actually achieved Spirit Holy. Another example of someone who achieved Spirit Holy is Moshe. Because think about when Moshe was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, what he was eating. Oreos, Pop-Tarts, Captain Crunch, Apple Jacks, or Bowl Cheerios, was this part of a complete breakfast, right? No, he was eating the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Yahweh, Yahweh's Holy Spirit. That's what Moshe was eating, right? When Moshe had heavy, heavy doses of Yahweh's Holy Spirit in order to be in the presence or the perimeter of that burning bush. That's why Yahweh told Moshe to take off your sandals, for you stand on holy ground, right? For him to do that, he had to have high levels of Yahweh's Holy Spirit to be in the presence, the perimeter of that burning bush, right? So, yeah, Yahweh was training Moshe how to achieve the Spirit Holy so he can teach the children of Israel how they can teach I have Spirit Holy. That's why he told them in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verses 3 that mankind does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Right? What's the law of Yahweh? Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Spirit Holy. Right? And that's the thing that we should be doing, brothers and sisters, is feast on Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Because during the Day of Atonement, you know, we don't focus on the physical food that allow us, that we need to have in order to live. No, we focus on the spiritual food that allows us to live forever like Yeshua Messiah, to have the Spirit Holy in us, right? So, when we come to Yahweh's house and Yahweh gives us the understanding, right? And Yahweh gives us small little doses of Spirit Holy. Small doses. It's up to us to grow Spirit Holy, to grow it, to have it in us, right? And it's a law that we must not destroy Spirit Holy. We turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And be looking at verse 30. And it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Yahweh. No, don't do it, brothers and sisters. Don't destroy this precious gift that Yahweh has given you. Right? You only have one shot at this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by which you were sealed by the day of Yahweh by redemption. So how do we destroy Spirit Holy? Right? You turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at, let's look at verse 19, right? For the works of the flesh are obvious, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, God worship, hatred, contention, evil, jealousies, rage, selfish ambitions, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalry, and like these, which I warned beforehand, just as I did in times past, that those who partake of such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, these character traits do not build spirit holy. They destroy spirit holy, right? This is something that we need to get out of in order to have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Right? So how do we build the Spirit holy? Let's look at verse 22. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, righteousness, meekness, gentleness, temperance, self-control. Such things are not against the law. Such things are not against Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Right? Romans chapter 8, right? Our high priest, the great example, our high priest, Yeshua Messiah. It says, so start at verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for you, for those who walk as Yeshua Messiah, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right? Because through Yeshua Messiah, the law of the Spirit has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and man sought to defeat it, Yahweh did by sending his own Son in the likeness of simple man to bear witness against, and so he did condemn the sins of man. Look at verse 4. In order that the righteous requirements, notice that, those who develop this righteous character, the righteous requirements of the law might be fully performed in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on fleshly things, but those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the Spirit. To be carnally minded is to be death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against, bitterly opposed to Yahweh, for it's not subject to the law, nor indeed can be. But let's look at verse 9. Pay attention to verse 9. Those who develop this righteous character, what will they have? What will they be made of? But those who are not, but you're not in the flesh, but of the Spirit. Now the Spirit is not, if anyone does not have the Spirit, if anyone does not have the Spirit as the Messiah, he is not of Yahweh. And if the Messiah is not in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Those who develop this righteous character, and if the Spirit of him who is raised Yeshua from the dead is living in you, and from the dead he will also give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit. And just in conclusion, more about the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to read this book that I love, and I read it. Did Yeshua Messiah pre-exist? And in this book, Pastor goes into what Yeshua Messiah is made out of. Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Not God the Son, God the Father, or the Ghost. Yahweh's Holy Spirit. And with that, I turn over to the next speaker, and praise Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. It's definitely a wonderful feast day, and it's definitely a privilege and honor to come before the saints of Yahweh on this feast day, great feast of unleavened bread. Today, we're going to be continuing on the topic of developing and nurturing the desire for righteousness, and I'm going to little subtitle of this topic is the guarding of genes. The guarding of genes. You know, Pastor talked about the garden of genes and how there's righteous character traits that you must practice and keep in order to guard these genes, guard and keep this way. The purpose is to encourage us all to develop the desire for righteousness, which is the guarding of genes by seeking Yahweh diligently in our studies to make a connection with Yahweh. And we're going to be getting into some Yematria, because remember, Yematria is one of the many ways Yahweh speaks to us and shows us his instruction. So the first word we have, again, we're searching up the word, the term Garden of Genes. This is in the English, Gematria 9:12. And this is in the Hebrew, Strong's Concordance, Bedea, which means servant of Yahweh, an Israelite. And learning Yahweh's laws, that is changing your character to one of righteousness, will help you to be a perfect servant of Yahweh. The next one is word, the number in the Hebrew Gematria, 551. And this is the Greek, in Strong's Greek, and you have the Greek word there. The word means untried, inexperienced, unattempted, or untempted, incapable of being tempted. And this scripture reminds me of Jacob chapter 1, verse 13, and this is on page 953. It reads, "Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of Yahweh, for Yahweh cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone." Yahweh cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So, continuing on here, if everyone will be turning over to Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to be covering verse 1 through 9. This is in Proverbs chapter 2. This is found on page 497. And while you're turning there, I have two questions just to ask you that get your mind thinking about this topic. Is it possible to develop the desire for righteousness without diligently searching for wisdom? Can you guard the genes of righteousness without diligently studying the words of Yahweh's mighty seventh Malach, the great Kohen Yisrael, Abel Hawkins? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. Again, this is page 497. It reads, verse 1, "My son, if you would accept my words," and that's the laws of Yahweh, "I will treasure my laws within you." And the side note, G3 shows, that is, keep them inwardly and outwardly to practice them. So you have to practice Yahweh's laws. Let's see what would take place if you practice Yahweh's laws and seek this wisdom at the mouth of his priest. Verse 2, if you will incline our ears to wisdom and apply your mind to understanding. And a side note, G5, meaning we must seek the knowledge of Yahweh with diligence. And I'm going to go into a topic here every single day. We have to read the book of Yahweh and go over this information every single day. Verse 4, if you seek after her, wisdom, as you will for choice silver, and search for her as you would for hidden treasure. Verse 5, then you will understand the reverence of Yahweh. And side note, G6 is this faith is the true wisdom to know and reverence Yahweh. Remember, reverence of Yahweh, just for your notes, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2, found on page 152. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2 reads, "So that you can reverence Yahweh your Father by keeping all his laws and his statutes, which I command you, your son, your son's son, and your son's sons, all the days of your life." Every single day, you have to keep these laws. You have to read these laws. You have to go over these laws. And this will help you guard the genes, as is shown here in the scriptures. "And find the knowledge of our Heavenly Father." Back to Proverbs, verse 6 of chapter 2. "For it is Yahweh who gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." And for reference, Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. "For the priest's lips must keep knowledge, and they should seek the law from his mouth. Yahweh reserves sound understanding for the righteous." You can only get it from Yahweh's house. That's what Pastor shows us every single time he gets up here. "He is a shield of protection to those who walk uprightly." There's no need to fear in these times. We know these are fearful times, but Yahweh will protect us if we keep his laws. For Yahweh guards the path of the just and protects the way of his saints, so that you will understand justice and equity, every righteous path. So right there you can see you have to seek Yahweh every single day. A couple scriptures for your notes, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18 through 19. This is found on page 162. We're training to be office holders in Yahweh's house. We're training to be leaders in Yahweh's house. It shows here that the king must have a copy of the laws and he must go over it every single day. Every single day. It is to remain with him and he is to study it all the days of his life. This is something that has to be a practice with him. And one of my most honored scriptures, Yeshua chapter 1, verse 8, it reads, "The book of the law must never be missing from your mouth. And you must meditate on it day and night and be careful to observe and do all that is written within it. For then your way will be blessed and then you will be greatly successful." So keep these things in mind. Seek Yahweh every single day. Read and study his information, his laws, his prophecies, and make sure you stay close to the house of Yahweh. And please stand for all those who can stand. And with that, we'll turn it over to the next teacher, a really great teacher in Yahweh's house, the great Deacon Yisrael David Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I hope everybody's enjoying this feast so far and these quite interesting times we got going on. Today I'm going to be talking about something that I think is extremely important, really interesting, and highly misunderstood. And that misunderstanding causes a barrage of problems for us as a family and for people in general as a whole in the world. I entitled this sermon today, "Having the Right Mindset Alone is Deadly." Having the right mindset alone is deadly, and I'll explain. We see people sometimes who just seem to have everything together. They seem to have everything working out. They don't get upset. They don't get angry. They when stressful situations occur, they just seem to float through them with ease. And we say, man, I really want to be like that person. But be careful what you hope for, because a lot of times there's a lot of things going on that we might not realize. In many cases, when you get to know these people, you'll find that they have all kinds of baggage and emotional trauma and, depression, all kinds of problems going on. Why is that? Why is that? In a lot of cases, many of us seem to be so great at controlling our thoughts and emotions. And I want you to remember that word controlling, because that's probably the most important word in this sermon, and I'll explain it. We seem to be great at controlling our emotions and our thoughts, not realizing that what we're doing is not controlling at all. It's not controlling them. It's suppressing them. We've become experts at suppressing our negative emotions and our negative thoughts, and that's extremely dangerous. Behind every negative emotion that we have is a problem. And that might not be, it might be an imagined problem in our heads. It could be a real problem, but to us, it's a problem that needs to be dealt with. So remember what an emotion is. It's a signal. It's a response triggered by the things that we experience. And it's kind of like a check engine light on the dash of our car. I'm sure we've all seen the check engine lights. And all my cars have that check engine light. Just turn it on, it runs, see it, fine. Just put a piece of tape over it and you won't recognize it's there, right? Well, we do that a lot of times with our own problems. These signals come up, these emotions come up, these fear or anger or disappointment or sadness comes up. And in guise of controlling our emotions, we say, okay, well, I don't want to listen to you, bye. And we close it up and put it in a box. And we think we're controlling our emotions, but we're not. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more. So emotions are extremely important. The Peaceful Solution tells us about our emotions. We're not supposed to judge or make decisions based on our emotions, but they're there for a reason. Yahweh gave us our emotions for a reason. Think of them as indicators so that you can check and see what's going on and so that you can solve the problem. Otherwise, those problems manifest themselves later on in our life. I'm sure we've all had days where we're feeling great, and then all of a sudden we just feel bad, and we want to explode on everyone around us, or we just want to, you know, lock ourselves inside of a closet somewhere and watch YouTube videos and eat pretzels or something, you know? And a lot of times those weird random spurts of emotion, strong emotion that we get, are because we have a lot of these emotions suppressed in our bodies that we haven't dealt with. And they can make you sick, they can cause injury, they can cause undue stress, they can cause depression, they can cause all kinds of other problems. Some people, I'm sure you've seen, they're really nice when there's a situation that they don't want to deal with, or somebody's screaming at them, oh, yes, yes, thank you, I'm sorry, I'll get it worked out. And then five minutes later, I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell that person, and I'm going to give him a rotten piece of my mind, and he's going to know exactly how I feel. Oh, yes, I'm so sorry, you know, I'll deal with it for you the next time. And that's not dealing with the problem either. There's obviously a problem that they're dealing with, and it might be that they just don't like the way the person's talking to them and they haven't figured out how to deal with it yet, but they bottle it up and they fester it. Okay, so I think you get the picture of what I'm talking about here, where we control our emotions, but we're not actually controlling them. We're suppressing them. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 17, if you will. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14. And it says, "The beginning of strife is like opening a water dam." What is a water dam? You know, a water dam holds back a lake or a river, which has a lot of pressure behind it. And if that dam bursts, it can do damage, a lot of damage to an entire city. So there's a lot of power behind that water dam. So before a quarrel breaks out, stop the contention. Deal with the problem. Solve the problem. And that contention can occur in our own mind. It might not even be a contention with somebody else. It can be a contention going on within our own mind. In the self-control unit on page 31, it says that, generally speaking, emotions can be categorized as either negative or positive. Uncontrolled negative emotions are hurtful and can undermine your growth, development, and your future, and damage your interactions. So uncontrolled negative emotions, what does control mean? What does control really mean? And in the Webster's Dictionary, the Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, there's a few definitions of control here. And the first one, which is the one that a lot of us default to, is to have power over or rule. And really anybody can do that. It doesn't take any sort of logic or intelligence to have power over or rule something. And the example it gives is a single company controls the industry, meaning they have all the money, so they have the pull, they have the power, the rule. The Catholic Church does that. They're great at it. But how many of y'all play an instrument, a musical instrument, or sing? You can't just grab a piano and smash on the keys and expect it to sound great. You can't just grab a guitar and start strumming like crazy and expect it to sound like pleasant music. You can't just scream and yell with your voice and expect it to stay great. It's going to fail on you. The definition that we need to look at for control is skill in the use of a tool, instrument, technique, or artistic medium. And the example it gives is a singer's control of her voice. So actually learning how to use the tool, an emotion is a tool. When we have a problem and we understand that it's a problem, that understanding is a tool that we can use to help us deal with that problem. Remember what Matthew chapter 5 says, verse 21 to 26. It talks about how if you have a dispute with your brother, this is how important it is. If you have a dispute with your brother, solve it, deal with it, before you even go to the offering and give in your offering, because that's how important it is to Yahweh. You know, remember when you were a kid and you were 5 and your teddy bear broke or you spilled your ice cream and it was the end of the world and nobody could convince you otherwise? That's a lot of times how people feel about their problems. They don't know how to solve them. As authorities, helping them deal with that problem is a great thing. So, in conclusion, I got to wrap it up here. We got to deal with these problems as people, and as people that help to deal with those problems, we got to deal with those problems. Otherwise, they pile up and they explode. You know, we hear talk about when life hands us lemons, make lemonade out of that problem. But sometimes we fail to realize that the lemonade that life gives us, or the lemons that life gives us, are rotten. And we're making rotten lemonade and poison, and we're feeding it to ourselves, and we're feeding it to our family and our friends around us, because we haven't dealt with that problem. So find solutions to those problems. We're problem solvers. We're not problem ignorers. And when we go to lead the universe, there's going to be trillions of problems. We're being trained to solve them. So learn to be problem solvers, and Let's use these things that we're learning to bring success and joy to our lives. It's a lot more than just having a positive mindset. It's actually acting on that mindset and following through with the things that we're being taught. So let's use these things to bring us success and joy in our lives. If you'll all please stand, or not if you're in your vehicles. And I'll turn it over to the next speaker, the great Deacon Tekoa Hawkins.
Praise you. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You can be seated, or all of y'all that can. Interesting times we're in. But praise Yahweh for all the hard work and the dedication that went into getting the feast ready, and give a round of a hand to all the workers and all the members of the House of Yahweh that were able to step in and get everything ready for the great feast. And praise Yahweh that we're, most of us are all here. So basically what I wanted to go ahead and cover was a part two to what I had already started last time I had spoke. And the title I had went with was Don't Look Back. And I just wanted to kind of go off of that and continue on where I left off. But it is a very serious thing that many of us deal with, is the maybe doubts, maybe, you know, we just get fed up with somebody or somebody's attitude or something that we have to do. And we allow it to get inside of ourselves, and we allow it to create bitterness, hatred. And we allow it to fester inside of us, just like the previous deacon said. And if we do not control that, we let it build up inside of ourselves. And then a couple months later, a couple years later, decades later, we finally get enough of it built up inside of us, and we all let it go. We all let our emotions run out and control our thought process. So with that in mind, if we can go ahead and look over to Romans. Chapter 6 on page 878, right here, page 878, Romans 6, verse 14. And this is right where I left off last time. I went ahead and read this the last time, but I want to go ahead and cover this again. For sin will not rule over you, not under the law, and therefore under Yahweh's undeserved pardon. What can we sin as though we are not under the law, yet under Yahweh's undeserved pardon? By no means. You do not know that to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey, his servants are whom you obey, whether of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Could that be any plainer, brothers and sisters? No, it could not. Sin leads to death. There's not a... It's not like, okay, I die, I'll wake up the next morning and just keep on sinning. If you continue to sin, if you continue to fall into this pattern, if you continue to allow it to become a part of your life, it will destroy you and it will lead to death. We can go ahead and look at verse 17. But thank Yahweh, through you were once servants of sin, you have become obedient all your heart to the form of teaching which has delivered to you. You know, many of us were called out of the house of Yahweh. I was blessed to be born in the house of Yahweh and raises this as from in the womb. I was taught, you know, the ways of Yahweh and what's the difference between right and wrong, you know, which leads to death, which leads to righteousness. And I was very thankful to grow up in the house of Yahweh, surrounded by righteous men in Yahweh's house, and be able to build off of that, be able to structure my life around that. And a lot of us have been called out of the house of Yahweh, and it's been a complete change for us. You know, many of us were called at the house of Yahweh, whether it was 2 months ago or 30 years ago. We've had to completely change our lives in order to fall into what Yahweh is asking us to become. You know, servants of Yahweh, you know. It's a lot of times it can be overreacted, or so we don't care at all. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But it is whenever for thousands and thousands and thousands of years you've been taught that sin's okay. You know, we've been taught by the beastly system, the government that sits on seven heels, that it's okay to sin. You know, all these things look desirable. Like the great deacon just before me said that celebrities, musicians, all the famous people, their lives look so glamorous and it looks so nice and everybody wants to be just like that. But yet behind the scenes, their life is filled with nothing but drugs, alcohol, and they're constantly filled with depression. Many of them commit suicide, and they just continue to allow it and allow it and allow it. But on the outside, it looks desirable, you know? Hey, I want to go do that. You know, I want to be a part of that because it looks fun. And, you know, that idea of fun is what has been programmed into our mind through thousands and thousands and thousands of years of this continual sin. You know, we're showed this many times in the scriptures. Let's go ahead and look down at verse 18. Being then set free from sin, you have become servants of righteousness. You know, that's what we're here to become, as servants of righteousness, and we're here to set ourselves free from this sinful world. Verse 19, I put this in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you used to offer the members of your body as servants of uncleanness and of sin, which leads to more sin, so now yield your members as servants to righteousness and holiness. And go and look up right above that last line we read, and of sin, which leads to more sin. You know, we all come here on prep day nights to do our confessions. And, you know, we're all supposed to be coming out of this world and using these confessions to reconcile ourselves with Yahweh. And that way we can be able to be closer with Yahweh and we can have a better connection. But when we keep on going back out into the world, we keep on going back onto our devices, we keep on going back onto the computers, and we're not using it the way we have been instructed to use it here in the house of Yahweh, it will continue to lead to sin. With that, if you can, when you get home, if you can please read verses 20 through 23 of chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, if you can go and put that in your notes. Let's go ahead and look over to page 879 right across, and Romans 8, verses 6 through 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, you hear the world leaders talking about how they want peace so much. You know, they just want, you know, it's kind of described as like a small town community, how it's just quiet and peaceful. But we don't have that. And, you know, it's created by mankind's lust and desires to go after this sin, which has been programmed in our mind. Let's go ahead and read verse 7. Because the carnal mind is empty against, bitterly opposed to Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, nor indeed can be. Bitterly opposed. You know, how many of us have come here as a brand new member of the house of Yahweh? You know, we didn't understand most of this stuff. It was a mind shock to us. And it was very hard for us to accept anything. You know, it took us by shock. It took us, you know, it grabbed our reins and it kind of shook us up. But so just keep that in mind, that anytime your mind is filled with bitterness or hatred, it will build up if you don't get it out of yourself. You know, if you allow it to fester, you know, like the great deacon said before. You know, you don't keep your emotions in check. You know, you don't properly deal with the things as the Peaceful Solution Program says, as the apostles, prophets, and our great Savior showed how to deal with these things. You know, and when you allow yourself to be pulled in by the world's sins, you know, whether it be worldly music, television, you know, going out to parties, you know, intentionally doing what you know is wrong just to have fun. You know, well, let's break the rules. It's fun. You know, let's do this. It's going to be fun because we're going to get in trouble for it. You know, that's the whole entire idea of this life in the world, is going against, bitterly opposed to what is in this script, in these scriptures, in the books that Israel Hawkins has been, you know, the first, Mark of the Beast was in 1976. And there has been books after books after books since then. All the prophetic words, all the newsletters, all this is designed to do what? Have the Holy Spirit in us, you know, be able to allow our minds to be reigned and allow ourselves to be a servant of righteousness. And with that in mind, if we can go ahead and turn over to 2 Kefa real quick. I don't have a lot of time here. 2 Kefa, it's on page 963. 2 Kefa 3. There we go. And we're going to go ahead and look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And that's talking about our Savior, Yeshua Messiah. This is the Apostle Kepha telling us that we are to be found spotless and blameless. You know, we just had a Yeshua's memorial. You know, we're remembering what Yeshua went through for us. You know, he gave the greatest sacrifice of all, which is his life for our sins. And we need to please keep that in our mind. Let's go ahead and read verse 15 real quick. And recognize that the long suffering of Yahweh, our Savior, is salvation, just as our beloved brother Sheol, in accordance with your wisdom, was given to him as written to you. So, brethren, please do not take for granted this right here. You know, so many men and women died and were tortured just to have this right now. You know, these scriptures were locked up for a very long time, and they were not released till 1600. So please keep that in mind. Please keep in mind all the men and women that have been tortured and tormented just to be able to read these scriptures and be able to have and be able to practice and come here as brothers and sisters right now in these days. So with that, if you can all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to Great Deacon Noah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Those of you who are able to sit, you can go ahead and sit. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's an honor to address the called out ones of the house of Yahweh today. And the title of my presentation is The Pillar and Ground of the Truth. And that's a scripture, of course, that we all know well. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, which says that the house of Yahweh is the pillar and ground of the truth. And you can see the effect that the truth has had. And you can see it today. We had some excellent messages come forward today from all of the young men and women who spoke today. Many of us who spoke today have had the privilege of being in Yahweh's house since we were very young. A lot of us were actually born in Yahweh's house. And so we had the privilege of being educated in Yahweh's way from a very young age. And I think that really shows in the messages that were brought forth today. And I think it should be an encouragement to all of our parents and our teachers and counselors and so forth who have put forth effort into training and guiding us to see that there's a positive effect coming forward from that. Now, meanwhile in the world, I want to show you this. It says, parents are losing their minds having kids home during coronavirus quarantines. And you can see right up here in the top left, it says, also, coronavirus is making couples sick of each other and lawyers see divorces surge. So there's the condition of the world that you have. Whereas here at the House of Yahweh, we're all being taught how to get along and care for one another. And you know, one note on that is that we do owe it to our family members. And all of those that we interact with, we owe it to them to have a joyous disposition, to have a positive attitude, to be easy to work with, and, you know, to show respect in all situations, even when you're in quarantine for extended periods of time. So that's really important, I think, for people to remember, because right now society is as more connected than it's ever been before. But at the same time, it's more disconnected than ever before. And in terms of the family relationships and the interaction between each person, you know, within a family, a lot of times people don't even have meals together anymore. You know, they're all off on their devices. So, you know, that's a valuable lesson we can learn from Yahweh's house, to have that positive connection and show thankfulness, have a positive attitude and show thankfulness. Remember that having a humble and thankful attitude means being willing to improve yourself morally. So that's something that we really have a responsibility, and we owe it to ourselves and to those around us. Now, we hear a lot about the topic of the end. That's the theme of this feast. And I wanted to show something from this book here. It's Unveiling Satan. And here in the foreword of the book, it says, the end is the best part. And it says right here, you know, it talks about how Yahweh the Creator has allowed man to really play with fire like a child and get themselves burned. And then it says, here lies the valuable lesson. I thought this was really great for us to all think about in this time period. It says, you know, after these things, then the end will come, but not the end of life. It's the end of world chaos, the end of war, hate, misery, ignorance, sin, sickness, disease, and death. These are the reasons I say we are living in the most exciting times in all the history of mankind. So that's, I thought that was a really great thing for us to understand is, you know, it's not the end of life at all. It's the beginning of life, really. It's the beginning of a way of life that's free from the curses of sin. And we have a great opportunity in the first or second book of, the second book of Yisrael, chapter 13. Wanted to show this as well. Pastor says here, every one of you is here because Yahweh is giving you this wonderful opportunity to become sons of his family, sons of the family who will stop the wars, stop the hatred, and stop the processes that Satan has started before mankind was created and brought the earth to the death and destruction that we see presented in Genesis 1 verse 2. Remember the darkness that was over the earth. If it wasn't for you and Yahweh, this last generation, bringing this about, the earth would become like that once again. So we're actually, you know, where all life would be wiped out, we're actually there to bring life back to Yahweh's creation through the keeping of his laws. Remember that Yahweh values us and Yahweh wants us to succeed. Isaiah chapter 48 verse 17 says, I am Yahweh your father who teaches you to succeed and who leads you by the way you should go. One other thing I wanted to touch on this same subject is in the Mark of the Beast. This is the second volume of the Mark of the Beast. And it may be a little hard to see there, but it says, this is on page 259. It says, one must learn to live by and love the laws of Yahweh before they can qualify to teach them to someone else. This sometimes takes quite a while to do. In many cases, this takes years. The point is, there must be a training period for the teachers in the new world. And it says another fact remains, the Bible does not speak of a training period for teachers after the Great Tribulation ends. The only training period the Holy Scriptures speak of for the last days is going on right this minute in the house of Yahweh, which the Holy Scriptures also call the pillar and ground of the truth. And that's what we're doing right now. You think this was written in 1995, which was about 25 years ago, which was really older than most of, you know, before most of the speakers today were even born. And we see that that training period has been going on for all of this time. And we are continuing in that training so that we can, you know, we can fulfill our commission of being teachers in the new world, the work that Yahweh's commissioned for us to bring forth light to the world. So remember, aligning your values with Yahweh's values found in the Holy Scriptures, because when you have those to stand on, it gives you purpose and meaning. And seeking the truth, I wanted to touch on one thing here regarding the youth and the young people who may not be as engaged yet. One thing I want you to think about is that growing up in the house of Yahweh, you know, a lot of us, a lot of the adults and our parents and so forth, they came here seeking the truth and coming out of deception and lies and discovering the truth. When you've already had the truth available to you your whole life, you kind of need to really go back and look at more of the fundamental doctrines of Yahweh's house. Things like, here's a few of those fundamental truths, like the restoration of the true name of the Creator and the true name of the Messiah in the book of Yahweh, bringing Yahweh's name and Yahshua's name back, the observance of the Sabbath and the feast days, the reestablishment of Yahweh's last day's house, keeping the commandments and the whole law of Yahweh, which divides us from Christianity, which holds us to a moral standard of behavior found in the scriptures, which are the laws of Yahweh. And then lifting the veil of deception placed on the world and exposing those lies and falsehood. And if you go back and kind of review some of those more core doctrines that may have brought your parents here or brought others that you, you know, your teachers and so forth, I think it'll really help build a foundation and build value for the truth that we have in Yahweh's house. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says, taking root to build the house of Yahweh through him the Messiah, and also being established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And beware that no one leads you away like a prize because of philosophy or empty false statements, or which as the King James says, vain deceit. You think about Ecclesiastes there, according to the traditions of men and after the elements, or as Pastor has said, the rudiments of the world, and not after the Messiah. That's what we should be focused on, is being firmly established in the faith and being thankful for that opportunity we've been given. In the ninth book of Yisrael, Pastor says, this is chapter 12, part 1 of the ninth book of Yisrael, chapter 12, verse 55. Pastor says, stand fast on the words that are written by eyewitnesses, and you can't go wrong. Yahweh has promised this book to us, and he has it all written. There's no reason why you can't trust the prophecies and trust the Savior that Yahweh said would come and die for you, paying for your sins and being the fat Passover lamb. And our faith is founded in the wisdom of the scriptures and the prophecies, just as Yahshua's belief was, just as his faith. He believed in what was written. I want to go ahead and close with just a closing verse here from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of destruction, to give you the future that you hope for. So be at peace among yourselves, as Thessalonians 5 says. And I encourage you all to enjoy the remainder of the feast. We have a great job ahead of us going into the future. And keep a positive attitude as well. That goes a long way. So I'd like to thank you all for joining today, and with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to the priest for closing prayer.